One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Welcome to the Daily Ding. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. Boy, oh boy, did we have a night of basketball tonight.
Woo!
With me to break down this first game is my guy, Will Guillory. Will Guillory, you are in the building for Jimmy Buckets explosion. Tell us what that arena atmosphere was like.
Yeah, I mean, it was unlike any game I think I've ever been to in my career. Just the way the building exploded there in the fourth quarter when the Heat took over, and just seeing Jimmy Butler put up 56 points. I mean, it's unreal to even just say that out loud. 56 points in a playoff game. As an 8 seed going against the 1 seed, going against Giannis, Brooke Lopez, Drew Holiday, one of the most formidable defensive units in the NBA, just putting up an all-time performance and giving the Heat a 3-1 lead in this series, putting them in a position to one more win, and then knocking out the team with the best record in the NBA, the team I think most people probably picked to win the championship going into the playoffs. They're one loss away from their season being over, and it's purely because of Jimmy Buckets, playoff Jimmy, doing what he does always around this time of this year. But, I mean, he took it to a whole different level tonight.
Yeah, they're losing to the 8th seed, a team that lost to the Hawks in the play-in. It just feels impossible that we're in this place now. Jimmy, 56 points, 9 boards, 2 assists, 15 of 18 from the free throw line, 19 of 28. He had 22 of their, was it 26 points in the first quarter?
28.
Or of their 28 points. Yeah, that's right. Of their 28 in the first quarter. And I just kind of sat back and thought, you know what? That was really cool. Like, cute, Jimmy. That's great. You're about to get crushed still. That's what I thought. And then the game started to play out that way. Until you got to toward the end of the fourth quarter. And whenever he started, I think he hit back-to-back threes, and you just kind of – I just sat there and stared at my TV and thought, oh, my gosh, Jimmy's going to really do this. He's going to really – he really is going to do this. I could not believe it. I still am in complete disbelief that Jimmy did that, and he's yelling to the crowd. I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, he's got to be one of the top playoff performers of all time. There's just – I mean, he's in the record books right now. He's like the fourth highest scoring player in the playoffs with that 56-point game. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm guessing his playoff average probably shot up a little bit after you throw that 56 in there. But no, I felt the same way you did for most of this game. I mean, remember, the Heat didn't take the lead for the first time in this game until the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
Jimmy had 22 in the first quarter. He'd scored 20 straight points for the Heat. And they were still losing at the end of the first quarter. I mean, he was unbelievable in that first half, but Giannis had 17, 6, and 5, I think, at halftime. Brooke Lopez was outstanding in this game. Chris Middleton had some really good moments. I think for a lot of this game, you saw the Bucks kind of looking like themselves again. Obviously, this was Giannis's first game back after missing the last two with a back injury. And there were stretches during this game where you could tell his back wasn't right. He was grimacing after a few drives. He was coming on over to the sideline, getting a massage gun on his back during some breaks. But still, it felt like the Bucks were the Bucks again for long stretches of this game with their defensive dominance, with the way they were able to get to the paint at will against the Heat. But, man, just the way Jimmy just wouldn't let his team die. And I think, of course, we're going to give Jimmy all the praise he deserves for scoring 56 friggin' points in a playoff game. But I think when it really turned, was when he finally started getting help from his teammates. Caleb Martin hit two big threes in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
Kyle Lowry got a huge steal that led to a Jimmy Butler breakaway dunk on the other end. Bam Adebayo started scoring in that third quarter just to give Jimmy a little bit of relief. So once Jimmy got a little bit of help, he was able to push his team over the edge. And I think, again, man, we talk all the time about how Jimmy builds his legacy in the playoffs, and being able to do this against that Bucks team with the star power they have over there and the defensive presence they had. Drew Holiday, I mean, the best perimeter defender in the NBA was checking him the whole game. and he still dropped 56. I mean, it's just incredible what Jimmy was able to pull off in this game. And I mean, I guess I was surprised we went this far without dropping a hashtag. What's the hashtag? Heat, whatever it is. I don't know. It's late here on the East Coast. But yeah, the Miami, man, it was a crazy night. And whatever the name of the arena is now, they changed it like four times this season.
Right.
And just a legacy moment for Jimmy, for sure.
Yeah, I thought we were going to talk. I thought this was going to be the Brook Lopez game because he had 36-11, two steals, three blocks. He was great. He had four threes tonight, too. He was so good. And without Chris Middleton didn't look quite right either. Both Giannis and Middleton didn't look quite right. Drew Holiday didn't have a going either. And still, they were pretty close to winning this game, but it was really just – it was Jimmy. And he deserves all the credit. I think people are already fast-forwarding a little bit, wanting to see Jimmy in the Garden on the playoff stage, which is like big-time theater. But the series
has Jimmy versus Tibbs in a playoff series.
Oh my gosh, it's I think it feels like destiny at this point. But the series does head back to Milwaukee. If they can get Giannis right in these next few days,
which is a big question mark.
It's a huge question mark. If they can win that game, you head back to Miami. You know, the Heat are going to have a chance to close this thing out at home. They're going to have a chance to close it out in Milwaukee. 3-1 lead. Not many teams have done it. And if anybody can do it, it's Giannis if he's healthy. And we've seen Giannis do it in the finals when he wasn't completely healthy too. So I think that I would say, like, buckle up, because I think this series isn't quite over yet. I'm very, very intrigued to see how they play.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about the Heat and hashtag Heat culture is what I was reaching for earlier. But yeah, I think we got to put some red alerts on Milwaukee and just what does this mean for them if they aren't able to pull off, you know, a historic comeback and find their way out of this series, because to do what they did during the regular season, to have the star power, they have to spend the amount of money they spent to put this roster together and to get bounced in the first round by the 8th seed. It would be a really bad look for this team, and I think they would have some major questions to answer in the offseason. Of course, we're not there yet. The Heat still got to get one more win. But still, just looking ahead, if they can't pull this off, man, it would be an awful loss for this Bucks team that had extremely high hopes going into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Will, thank you so much for your coverage of the Miami Heat, the perhaps second-round Miami Heat, something that I did not think – that I'd be saying. Thank you so much for joining the show and for covering the Heat for The Athletic. Go read Will at The Athletic. He's got all your Heat coverage here in the playoffs.
Yeah, I thought I was just dropping in for a weekend in Miami. I guess now I'm hashtag Heat beat writer Will Guillory for the foreseeable future. So I'll catch you, I guess, for game six, and we'll see where this thing goes.
Thanks, Will. Appreciate it, man. All right, now we're going to bring in Mark Schindler. Mark, we're talking about this Grizzlies-Lakers game, which honestly felt like a little bit of a snoozer for a while. And boy, did it turn into a very interesting game. It went into overtime. I did not think we were going to be watching an overtime game tonight, Mark.
Yeah, we texted in the middle of that game. That was ugly. Like, that was just a gross game. Both teams shot under 30% from three. It felt even worse than that. They combined for over 120 rebounds.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of game.
That is a hilarious stat.
Granted, it went to overtime, but still. Like, still. That was nasty.
Yeah.
But exactly like you mentioned, the fourth quarter was fun. There's a lot to dive into with this one.
Yeah. I think it starts with kind of the rim defense. I mean, having Triple J and AD just protecting the rim all night. I mean, both teams, I think there were 18 combined blocks in this game. It was so interesting, too, just watching these teams try to continue to attack the paint. But you could tell even LeBron's like looking out for Triple J like every single time whenever he's driving and knowing that he's there. I mean, he sprayed the ball. I was kind of waiting for LeBron to take over in the fourth. but he kept getting to the rim, and he would see kind of Triple J, like in the corner of his eye, and he'd just spray it out every time, which is probably the right basketball play, but I just was kind of waiting for LeBron to take over. He eventually did, but a lot of it was just because of the rim defense.
Yeah, no, exactly. I thought, you know, him and AD were fantastic defensively tonight, and I think even more so going off that, like, part of what parlayed into the rebounding was both teams were they are zeroed in on the guys that they are very comfortable letting shoot.
Yeah,
like Dylan Brooks took 7 threes tonight, and not a single one of them was guarded. You can say that about numerous Lakers players, and I mean numerous players for the Grizz are still not going to be guarded on threes. And I think like that has. Like exactly what you're talking about. Like the driving lanes are just so congested right now. Like you're seeing both teams are like screening, rescreening, setting up a second action to try and get something going with what limited spacing they have, given how both teams are defending right now. And yeah, like anything going towards the rim felt like an adventure tonight, as Ja Morant found out throughout the game.
Yeah.
He would not to say that he had a bad game. Like, I mean, it was rough. He was 8 of 24 from the field is very difficult. I still think he did a lot of really good things, but the, he had some audacious, we'll say, attempts, around the rim and in the restricted area tonight.
Yeah. One in particular in transition where he jumps and like spins in the air to like land on his butt on LeBron so he didn't hurt himself again. I was so shocked he didn't get hurt on that play, just because he was, I mean, he launched himself into the air, but he was okay, I guess. There was one point in the third quarter where he fell, and I thought that he was like going to have to leave the game, but ended up staying in and ended up actually having a pretty good end of the third quarter. I think they took the lead on a Ja layup attempt there at the end of the quarter, but I think I was kind of shocked to see D'Angelo Russell be the one that kind of got the Lakers back into this one with his 3 points.
Well, especially, too, because he was awful tonight.
Really bad.
Like, he was getting cooked on defense.
Yeah.
His decision-making was all over the place on offense. He wasn't really putting any pressure on the defense. And then, cool, hit 3 threes back-to-back-to-back and then fouled out. And that was, like, all the Lakers needed to get back into the game. Not that they were out of it, but, like, to really close the gap and – again, just a really weird game in that facet, but getting that going, like obviously, like, you know, Jared Vanderbilt was big for the opening 5 minutes, and then he ended up playing a whopping 19 minutes the entire game.
Yep.
Because he has just really struggled to have an offensive impact in the series. I think even though he brings a lot to like defensively, I think it's really tough for them to have him out there right now, unless he is going to go 2 of 5 from 3 every night, but you know, we're a ways away from that. What was interesting, too, like, it was kind of a tale of two halves, or even, like, tale of three quarters and one quarter in overtime for LeBron, because, like you mentioned, with him getting downhill, that really didn't even happen until the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. Like, so much of the early game was him taking these pull-up threes or just catch-and-shoot threes and being kind of off the ball. You know, obviously, you know, trying to get things going initially, but with what the rim defense was, but I think it was noticeable how, and this is not trying to denigrate, but like it was noticeable how little he was really generating any kind of downhill looks against this team right now.
Yeah. He looked like he was 38 tonight in a lot of ways.
Yes.
But still managed to have 22, 20 and 7 with 2 blocks in this game.
Exactly. That's what feels so like I feel ridiculous saying anything that is.
I know. Negative, I felt like the same way, though.
Like,
yeah.
Critical of his game, because like he's still fantastic tonight. Like I thought his defense was really solid. Obviously, monstrous on the glass and the ability to kick out and hit shooters after drawing two the way he did late in the game was huge. But again, it's like it's just wild seeing how much of a mustard effort it has to be.
Yeah,
late in the game compared to what it's been, which I think definitely makes you, you know, wonder what it's going to be moving forward. But also, too, like adding that on, like Dennis Schroeder was really important tonight.
Yeah.
His box score does not seem that way, but he was the only other player on the court who could even really get into the paint, other than like Austin Reeves did. But it was all off like secondary actions. It's not him, you know, necessarily just attacking at will. So having that was able to kind of kickstart some things for them and getting the defense moving. And also I thought it was really good defensively tonight as well.
Yeah, he also had the, at the beginning of overtime, had the steal while he's on the ground and the assist while he's on the ground, which kind of, I mean, it just felt big. Like every, honestly, every bucket felt big toward the end of that game. And that one just kind of, it felt like it just kind of jump-started the Lakers in overtime. Let's, I got to talk about this play from the Grizzlies that I thought was going to end up being the game-winning play for them there at the end of, toward the end of regulation, where Jaren Jackson has this block at the, this fantastic block at the rim. And then they get this transition bucket where Ja is just like lightning quick to the bucket. Lakers are right there with him. He notices that Bane's there, drops it off to Bane, and then Bane scores. That sequence was just absurd. It was just like such, it was one of the more fun sequences of the game. I just couldn't even believe what was happening.
Yeah. Yes, there were some wild sequences in this game, and a game that was full of a lot of sequences that happened. We do got to mention too, on a positive note, I thought Desmond Bane was fantastic tonight. Yeah. In a night where as we mentioned, I think Ja really struggled, but seeing Bane get into the paint the way that he did and really create his own shot, create looks for others, was, you know, just an embodiment of what he's done all year, but like to the highest level with what he did tonight. That was really fun to see at 36-7-3. Yeah. Just really rocketed that up. But
they needed him too. They needed his usage tonight.
Oh, they needed him.
There just wasn't anybody else. Like, they weren't going to let Luke Kennard. I don't know what the Tyus Jones stuff is going on. Like, why? I don't know why they don't play Tyus Jones more than 9 minutes in this game. I don't really know what's going on there.
Yeah. I think it's tough because they don't want to play him alongside Ja. Like, they don't trust it to have the two of them on the court together.
Yeah.
And with Ja playing 44 minutes, it's like, I mean, I agree. It's weird, but I almost feel like Ja probably could have played a little bit less tonight.
They're playing like D'Angelo Russell. They're playing D'Angelo Russell. Is there not, like, there's not a place for him out there? That's where I'm just a little
confused. I know. I think it just, it speaks to some of the shortcomings of their depth right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, not ideal. I mean, their entire bench played what, like less than 35 minutes, like around 40 minutes. It wasn't a lot, which, I mean, that sounds like it's tons. But like, I mean, the Lakers bench played almost 70 minutes together.
They played. Yeah, I mean, they played Schroeder and Rui and Troy Brown a lot off the bench.
Yeah, but let's talk for a second about Anthony Davis's game.
Yeah.
Well, like we mentioned, the defense, I don't think you can question how good the defense was tonight. That was incredibly important. He definitely is dealing with something,
sure,
injury-wise, because seems like he did not look some kind of hip injury at all today. He was not right around the basket, was making weird decisions with the ball.
Mm-hmm.
All in all, just like, I mean, until the last couple minutes of the game, was a complete shell of himself offensively. Like, it was one of those games where just one of those, you know, every fifth AD game, you get one of these games and you're just kind of like, well, what the hell is happening out there?
Mm-hmm.
He was actively hurting the team by being on the court offensively at times. So it was jarring to see. Like, I feel weird criticizing this team or a lot of the players on it when they ended up winning this. And they're the seventh seed, and they're now up 3-1 on the Grizzlies.
LeBron and Austin Reeves saved the day. They actually saved Anthony Davis from being criticized tomorrow, like incessantly on television. Because if they lose this game,
we'll see what First Take has to say about that.
Well, but where would the blame? I think the blame would go on Anthony Davis if they lost, just because offensively, you're right. The decision making wasn't there, the shot making wasn't there. He took a corner three that missed so badly, like it just had no prayer of going in toward the end of the game. And there's a lot of times where you're just like, man, I wish they'd put the ball in Austin Reeves' hands a little bit more. You know, he had that layup there toward the end of the game that tied everything up. There's like, oh, okay, like there's somebody that can handle the ball, that can get into the teeth of the defense and make something happen. If I'm AD, I am so thankful that LeBron stepped up. He had that just tremendous layup toward the end of regulation that just felt like a miracle. It just felt like a throwback LeBron moment, honestly. And you know, LeBron had the and one, and he's screaming and he's bumping Anthony Davis in the chest, and you could see Rui give it a very half-hearted chest bump to LeBron after that too. But yeah, I agree. It was a weird AD game, and he just has to be thanking LeBron for just a ridiculous 2020 performance.
Yeah. I'm going to have to agree with that one.
anything else from this game that stuck out to you? This is obviously a huge one. The Grizzlies have never won a game four on the road in their entire existence. And that stands today, which that stat kind of blew my mind a little bit.
That's a good stat. Not a good stat for them, but
they've never done that.
That's a good pull.
And now, like this series, just like the Heat series, I think a lot of people expected the Lakers to win this one. But now this series heads back to Memphis. What are your expectations moving forward?
I think it's going to be tough if Ja's not healthy. I think one of the things that's been unfortunate about the playoffs so far is how much injuries have impacted not just rotation players but stars.
Yeah,
like obviously Giannis has not been right. Not to take away from what the Heat have done, not to take away from what the Lakers have done, but like the injuries have certainly played a part. Like, I mean, hopefully it doesn't impact the Kings Warriors series too much, but it seems like it might with De'Aaron Fox being doubtful for tomorrow's game. So I think I would probably take the Lakers still in this next game, just based on trajectory of the series and how things have gone so far. I'm willing to be wrong, but we just don't see teams come back from 3-1 unless LeBron's on that side or right. It's the We Believe Warriors. So
yeah, I tend to agree that we're gonna have a lot of star power in the second round in the Western Conference. It's gonna be insane. Okay, that's gonna do it for today's show. Tampering is up next. Mark, send us out.
Ding, ding, y'all.